I hope you all know that I love John Del Favreau as much as anybody in this room. Another old beat up, battered woman. Another old rose from a rundown farm. Another sweetheart who's losing hope. She lost a lot of love and won a lot of harm. Who in the world is ever gonna sing, sing, sing songs of work about letting freedom ring, ring, ring? Who's gonna take her hand and help her understand? She was born to see a shining sea. She was born to see a shining sea now. She was born to see a shining sea. Gonna take her hand, help her understand. She was born to see a shining sea. Another neighbor lacking legal papers. Detention center where the gate slams closed. Hardworking folks paying taxes, losing their homes. Taking life on the nose. Who in the world is ever gonna sing, sing, sing songs at work about letting freedom ring, ring, ring? Who's gonna take their hands, help them understand? They were born to see a shining sea. A mosque hijab and Muslim symbols, targets of some violent crimes. Queer folks told that they don't matter. Hate and fear poisoning our times. And who in the world is ever gonna sing, sing, sing songs at work about letting freedom ring, ring, ring? Who's gonna take our hands, help us understand? We were born to see a shining sea. We were born to see a shining sea now. We were born to see a shining sea. Let's take each other's hands till we understand. We were born to see a shining sea. Quotes. First from Emerson. To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. And also from Emerson, that which lies before you and that which lies beyond you pales in comparison to that which lies within you. From Thoreau. In the morning, I bathe my intellect in the stupendous and cosmogonal philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, since whose composition years of the gods have elapsed, and in comparison with which our modern world and its literature seem puny and trivial. I lay down the book, and I go to my well for water, and lo, there I meet the servant of Brahman, priest of Brahma, Vishnu and Indra, who still sits in his temple on the Ganges reading the Vedas, or dwells at the root of a tree with his crust of bread and his water jug. I meet his servant come to draw water for his master, and our buckets, as it were, grate together in the same well. The pure Walden water is mingled with the rivers of the Ganges. And finally, from Einstein, one of the patron saints of Unitarian Universalism. A human being is part of the whole called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. We experience ourselves, our thoughts, and feelings as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. The true value of human beings is determined primarily by the measure and the sense in which they have obtained liberation from the self. Okay, I love Austin Ann Johnson as much as I love John Del Favreau. This morning I ask you, have you obtained liberation from the self? It's a mighty tall order. It's not at all like putting gas in the car or eating a meal. It is a good deal more challenging than even caring for a child, although that starts to get closer. There are very few among us who would not sacrifice ourselves for a child, and certainly there are those among us who feel as though we have lost huge portions of ourselves for other people. Maybe the people on that list might include your parents, your spouse or life partner, your children, or maybe even a friend. But I'm not sure that is exactly what Einstein is talking about when he describes liberation from the self. I grew up around people who said, don't be selfish, always put others first. And I've seen that do great damage. Always putting others first will sometimes destroy any hope of a quality of life. This morning, let's call on Emerson, Thoreau, and Einstein to create some Unitarian Universalist sense of what is transcendent reality. What do we gain by embracing the truly real? And what do we lose when we cling to what Buddha called the illusion of separation? Or what Einstein called the optical delusion of separation? At the heart of this question is what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. And by that measure, what does it mean to live a good life? Being a minister with almost 18 years of experience, being a writer who wrote a weekly newspaper column for 40 years, having both read and written books, attended workshops, even listened to a few wiser souls than me, I'm supposed to have a handy-dandy little answer for you this morning. I do not. I am sorry. I can tell you that I have experienced oneness with the universe, and it beats the heck out of indigestion. For me, as I stand here before you and offer words, there is a certainty, a confidence, a faith, even that transcendent reality calls us out of selfishness, pride, ego, bullheaded determination to do it my way or the highway, but they're just words. And words are all I have to steal your heart away. You know that's what I come over here for every Sunday morning, is to steal your heart away. You knew that, right? I asked Joe Norwood to read those opening words today. I know it took a lot of nerve to ask an atheist to read a quote that had the word God in it. But Joe was game. Thank you, Joe. You did a beautiful job. I want to read it one more time. Standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become a transparent eyeball. I am nothing. I see all. The currents of universal being circulate through me. I am part or particle of God. I am the lover of uncontained and immortal beauty. In the wilderness, I find something more dear and incarnate than in streets or villages. In the tranquil landscape, and especially in the distant line of the horizon, man beholds somewhat as beautiful as his own nature. Emerson did not believe in a theistic, separate, judgmental, angry God. Emerson was a transcendentalist and a heretic. When he was asked to sum up his entire philosophy, he said he believed in the infinitude of individual human beings. The infinitude of individual human beings. Now, I'd like to park this sermon right here and just get out and walk around in that for a few minutes. The infinitude of individual human beings. What if you and I are infinite, Bo? Infinite. Even Mark Hauser can consider the possibility that he's infinite this morning. I remember one of the members of this congregation once told me that he had no desire to go to heaven because streets of gold and harps and eternity singing praises to God had no attraction for him. It sounded boring. In the closing days of my own daddy's life, he asked me whether he would have good seats at the football stadium in heaven. That's not the infinity that I'm asking you to consider this morning. Emerson and Thoreau and Einstein are touching on an awareness and a consciousness that extends beyond ourselves in this moment, not off in some great football stadium in the sky. I don't even know if there is a great football stadium in the sky, but you can bet I told my daddy that there was, and he would have seats on the 50-yard line. The infinity I am asking you to consider this morning is the one that Einstein asked us to consider when he described dropping the optical delusion of separation and obtaining liberation from the self. It is what Emerson affirmed when he said, "I am nothing." It is what Thoreau connected with when he went to the well and found ancient Indian gods and goddesses mucking together the waters of Walden Pond and the Ganges River. It is a connection to something beyond ourselves and deeply within ourselves that has absolutely nothing to do with a separate, theistic, judgmental, angry God. When I used to pray in worship services in my mother's church, I would begin each prayer with these words, "Great Spirit of love who lives within our hearts." She told me not to do that so much. She said people would start thinking that I only believed in the Holy Spirit. I never had the nerve to tell her that I don't believe in the other two persons of the Trinity. And I have to tell you that as I wrote that line in my sermon the other afternoon, I looked up and my mother's picture was hanging on the wall, looking at me, saying, "Oh, really?" Jesus is as real to me as those Indian gods and goddesses were to Thoreau banging around in his well buckets. And the Heavenly Father is a metaphorical masterpiece as long as he isn't throwing down lightning bolts and condemning people to hell. We don't believe in hell here in this building. If you're... We don't believe in it here in this building, and we don't believe in it anywhere else either. But there might be a Holy Spirit, a spiritual holiness that sometimes comes and taps us on the shoulder and calls us out of greed and pride and lust and all those other deadly sins. There might be a spirit not unlike school spirit that is inspired at pep rallies. There might be a spirited debate about the existence of a transcendent reality. And might we not find in that spirit some way forward as a spiritual community committed to justice as we live through historic injustice. I'm so grateful to Todd May for saying we live in a time of moral clarity. We are living through historic injustice. When the president tries to bar refugees from war-torn Syria, and the Secretary of Homeland Security wants to hire 10,000 new agents to round up immigrants. We are living through historical injustice right here in the United States of America and right here in Greenville County. We are living through historical injustice, and it must not go unanswered. It must not go unanswered. If we have the opportunity to house undocumented persons in this church house, will you support that action? Yes. I know not all of you applauded for that line. It's all right. It's all right. We believe in diversity. We believe in diversity of opinion. Will McCorkle just walked in. Will, where did you land? Stand up, Will. Y'all look around at Will. If you have questions about the sanctuary movement here in Greenville County, if you have questions about the at least four other congregations who are making plans to house undocumented persons in their worship space, talk to Will, talk to me, talk to each other. Thank you, Will. Thank you for being here. Will had to leave church, y'all, to come over here. I hope y'all appreciate that. I know there is more than mere words afoot in this place this morning. There is a spirit in this room, right here, right now. There is a spirit in this room that calls us out of ourselves and into caring for each other. Maybe some of you who didn't applaud that line about undocumented persons will join our pastoral care team and consider visiting sick folks in the hospital and consider taking meals to persons recovering from surgery. We need to care for each other. That's what Unitarian Universalism has always been about. Caring for each other. That's all we've got is each other. We are people whose care for each other calls us to be liberated from the self, to be unselfish. We are a people who have a great spirit of love living in our hearts. I've been with so many of you in protest marches, in gatherings of resistance, in organizing meetings, and other times of care and concern since the election. You are there because there is a great spirit of love living in your hearts. I recently prayed on the sidewalk with two evangelical ministers. I asked them to pray with me because each of us has a heart for people being hurt in the current historical injustice in this time of moral clarity. We held hands and we poured out our hearts in prayer. And I know some of you are struggling with this image because many of you believe that nobody listens to prayers. And you know I am okay that you believe that. But I believe there is a oneness, there is a oneness in all of reality that hears prayers. Oneness doesn't sit on a throne in heaven trying to sort through the prayers of billions of us crying in desperation. That oneness for me is down in Thoreau's well bucket. Here in Emerson's transparent eyeball, and everywhere, everywhere in Einstein's liberation from the self. Of course, listening to prayers takes place in the great spirit of love that lives within our hearts. And I know that all prayers are not answered. And many deeply hurting people are disappointed and discouraged by prayers not getting answered. I understand that. But still I pray because I believe it is so important that I liberate myself into oneness. And because I need all the help I can get. I'm going to close with a Buddhist prayer. When the Buddhists pray, they don't pray into the sky, they pray within. May you know happiness. May you know happiness for yourselves and for all you love. May you know happiness even for that someone you have chosen to hate or despise. May you know happiness for all living creatures. May you know health. May you know health for yourself and all you love. And may you know health even for someone you have chosen to hate or despise. And may you know peace. Peace in the face of historical injustice. Peace at a time of moral clarity. May justice flow down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. And may you follow the urgings of the great spirit of love that lives within your hearts.